You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
For the next 3 weeks, we're looking at divine direction, how in the world to make good decisions, wise decisions, decisions that are in the will of God, and what that all means. And I think we're going to have some good news to start with today. But let's begin with prayer, okay? Lord God, thank you for this day, for that we are here, that we are here together, that you are here, actually, Lord, that you are present. And Holy Spirit, we pray through your word today, you would do a work in all of us, that where there's hardness or bitterness, that you would soften that and that would be released. Where there is doubts and fears, Lord, that you would bring your peace. Where there is frustration and even despair, Lord, that you'd bring your hope. That you would just be you, Lord Jesus, all that you are for us today, where we are, right here, right now. And that you would give us your wisdom today, your spirit today through this word. We thank you, Lord, that Thrive is just one of many churches in this area, many expressions of your gospel and goodness in this kingdom. And we pray for that kingdom today across this area and across this nation, across this world. We thank you, Lord, that there are 2 billion more, countless numbers, Lord, praising you today across this world. We pray for your movement here and everywhere, that your kingdom would grow, and that your will would be done in our lives, through us, to others, and that we would become a movement of your spirit, a movement of your grace to this community and world, Lord God. That's what we pray for right now. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. So it's good to have you here today as we start this new series. I think it's a question I've always asked. I know I'm a weird guy in a sense, okay? Weird in the sense that when I was in grade school, I was asking, what is God's will for my life? And you're going like, what? Yeah, I know. I was always kind of the neurotic trying to figure these things out. And so even as in grade school, and especially in high school, I asked these questions. And so we're going to study this for the next 3 weeks because I think there's a lot of good news, where I was filled with a lot of doubts and going like, I don't know how to make a good decision. You know, is this what God wants me to do? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this what God wants me to do? We're going to find out today a little about that and what really matters to God, okay? What really matters to God. So we're going to read, first of all, from Colossians 3, where we can see what really matters to God in this passage. So you can follow along if you've got the View version. There are some notes to this as well that are available under events. But right now we're going to read Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, let's be honest though. How many of us always make good decisions, right? I think, how many of you would say, yeah, I struggle sometimes with making good decisions? Anybody raise their hands for that? I'm there. I am there. Have you ever made a long-term decision based on a momentary feeling? No. Good for you. You've never gotten, you've blown your stack at a time when, and you look back, oh, I shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that. That momentary got you, and then all of a sudden, you regret it. I think a lot of people regret different decisions that they've made in life. I don't know what it might be for you. Some people will say, I regret the person I was. I wish I could go back there again, you know, dating someone, and it's like, I would want to do that all over again. And maybe it's that you made a purchase and you go like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have bought that. I'm still paying for it. Yeah? Or maybe it was a move, or maybe it was when you said, hey, hold my Coke, watch this. Have anybody ever done, and then it's like you do something, and it's like, oh gosh, ow, why did I even think about that? Well, we've got a little video here, humorous. I think this guy regretted not going to the optometrist sooner. You think he regretted that? Yeah, he put off, and then now, ouch, yeah. A lot of times we make decisions we regret, okay? Some of you right now are graduating. Woohoo, yeah. And graduating from college, and now it's like, and now what? What do I do now? Do I have a job? Do I take this job or do I take that job? Or do I wait for the right job? Do I hold out? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I make the move? Do I apply to graduate school? What do I do? How do I know I'm doing what God wants me to do? Some of you are wondering, like, I'm dating this person. He's okay. She's okay. But do I stick with this person and hope they change, or do I move on? Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. Should I buy this new car, or should I try to hold on to this one for another 6 months and just kind of, what do I do? What do I do? Should we have a third kid, or is it time for the snip snip? Okay. I don't know. But I think a lot of us are looking for a divine direction. What do I do? How do I make a good? What's really interesting to me, like I said, I've studied about decision making, and there was a book I read years ago called Decision Making in the Will of God, which some of this is based on. And it was very helpful back then because I was wondering what to do with my life, what direction to go. And you might be going like, John, you should have probably read that book again because I'm not sure if you took the right path becoming a pastor. Well, you know. But who knows, right? You just wonder when you're in school, when you've got a future, what am I going to do? What direction should my life actually take? And we're going to look at that today. Now, back in the 80s, when I was making those decisions about college and career choices and what direction to go and stuff, I think it was easy compared to today. There's been a lot of talk about what the generation called the millennials. I know you hate that term. What do we call any generation? But what we've noticed, there's a lot of positive things about the millennial generation, the largest generation in the history of the United States. But at the same time, one of the things that they struggle with more than any other generation so far is making decisions and committing to a certain path. Why is that? Because there's too many choices. What am I supposed to do? There's 600 different possibilities in front of me. How am I supposed to pick one that makes sense today? You know, when there are so many choices, when there's this freedom to choose almost anything, hundreds, it becomes the burden to choose. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it's kind of like, have you ever gone on Netflix to look for a movie? And you're trying to figure out, what are we going to watch? And you have 300 choices in front of you. And so you're spending all this. And 45 minutes later, you decide, I'm not going to watch anything because I don't have any time anymore. I've wasted all my time trying to even make a decision because we're trying to find the perfect one. We live in a Netflix culture now with almost limitless choices. Limitless choices. And what happens now is that many people are struggling to make any choice because they're afraid to make the wrong choice. They want to make the perfect choice. And so not choosing anything Instead of, if I make an imperfect choice, but you know what happens when that happens is you've chosen to not to choose, which is many times a worse choice than an imperfect choice. And so some people are still living in their parents' house, playing Halo and at a Mick job because I just don't know what I can commit to, what direction to go with my life. Okay? I think we're looking for divine direction for all of us. So what we're going to find out today, though, today we're going to just like lay the foundation for this series. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to get a little more specific and a little more focused. But right now, we're going to answer the basic question of what does God really want anyway? What is he really after? And we're going to find out three different points. What does God really care about? This is the easiest way. If you're taking notes, it's simply this. Three points today. Who more than do? He cares about who you are becoming more than what you do. Secondly, he cares why you do it before what you actually do. And the most important of all is he cares whom you trust above anything else. So we're going to take these one at a time. First of all, who before do? Who before? God cares more about who you are becoming than what you actually do in life. This is the way he says it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Okay? This is the will of God, your sanctification. Well, what does God want me to become an accountant? Is that what the Bible says? Does God want me to do? No. What does the Bible say God wants for you? What is his will for you? Your, what's the word? Sanctification. Now you go like, what in the world does that mean? It's behind this word is the Greek word hagios for holy. And holy means to be set apart. Hagios. God wants you to be different, to be set apart, to have a different mindset, to not fit into the value system of this world. He cares more about that than anything else. Your sanctification is to be set apart, to be different, to not be possessed by the way the world makes decisions, but to have a different way to make decisions. The world makes decisions based on what's in it for me. How am I going to benefit? How can I get ahead? What do I want? And the Christian is called to be set apart from this world of egotism and self-centeredness to ask the question of, how can I glorify God and serve others? How can I best exemplify the character and person of Jesus Christ to this world? Some people think God has this blueprint, you know, this giant blueprint in the sky for each one of our lives. And on it is exactly what you, people don't even know what blueprints are anymore, probably, right? But this design of exactly what you're going to do every day. So like today, God, do you want me to wear these black shoes or do you want me to wear these brown shoes? Am I supposed to put on jeans or on this or that? You know, down to that kind of aspect. And that if I make the wrong decision for some reason, have not defined exactly what God wants me to do today and where to go and what to do, then I'm going to have a second-rate life the rest of my life. I don't know where they get this from because I don't see it in the scriptures anywhere. What I see, I think that's more from like Platonic idealism than it is from the Bible. It's more from a fatalistic understanding of how the world and determinism than it is from the world of Scripture. It's more about some scientific, hypersensitive, weird understanding of predestinationism to the extreme than it is about how you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and he's with you wherever you go. God does not have a blueprint like a computer program set out for your life. He has a person to follow. Not a blueprint, but a person. This is the way Paul talked about this. He set this out to the Corinthians and basically said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So anybody who I'm following It's not a blueprint, but the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm following and looking at Paul's life, seeing how he did it, learning from him. I'm learning from others how they do it. I'm following this person. I have a personal relationship with, and I am in that wake following him, and I'm being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So to know God's will for your life, you don't follow a blueprint. You don't try to divine the spiritual tea leaves. You look at the person of Jesus Christ and say, okay, Jesus, come with me. How am I to be following you today? And if you look at Jesus, you know what's so interesting about in the Gospels, where we get this real wonderful three-dimensional view of who Jesus is and what he's about? You look at Jesus, what does he talk about? Does he talk about occupations and careers? And, you know, is he a career counselor? Where he's saying, okay, yeah, you come. The only time he ever brings up careers that ever seems to be coming up at all is when he's telling people, yeah, leave that and follow me. Do you understand? He's really about this relationship. It's the who before the do. It's the who you are following, who you are being like, who you are becoming, much before the do. And like the reading from Colossians chapter 3, the Bible is filled with passages like this, these wonderful passages of encouragement that lay out exactly what God would like you to become. Loving and compassionate and patient and kind, bearing with one another, etc., right? It's the who before the do. So how does this apply? You might be going like, should I be dating this person or should I be going to this? Whomever you are dating, be with integrity dating that person. Be with integrity serving Jesus, glorifying Jesus, following Jesus. And if you can't follow Jesus dating that person, maybe that's time not to be dating that person, right? Should I stay in this place or should I take this other a job elsewhere? Doesn't matter where you are, be faithful where you are, following Jesus where you are, there. Should I major in business or elementary education? Whatever your major is, make sure you're serving Jesus right there. Before you think about the do in the future, be the who in the present, as a student, as a disciple. What do you want me to do with my future? The what and the do are not as important as the who you are becoming. It's the who before the do. And then secondly, it's the why before the what. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is God is focused much more on the why you do something before what you actually do. It's all about motivation. It's interesting, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, it says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. You know, I'm doing this for noble reasons, right? I can really fool myself very easily as to why I'm doing this or why I want that. I can justify anything, you know? And you know what they've said? There are two reasons why people do something. The reason they tell you and the reason they actually are doing it. You know, it's like we can cover up anything and say, this is why I'm doing this, but what's really behind it? And God cares more about the why before you ever get to the what. This is the way Paul talks about it to the Corinthians, because they were filled with all the what's and the coolness and the spectacular and the amazing things. And in chapter 13, he spells out motivation is the most important. And the motivation that's the most important is love. Love. That's really what it is. And he says it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. In other words, I can do all sorts of spectacular stuff. I can win awards. I can be on the who's who of whatever. I can be in the top 100 on Forbes, you know, richest, wealthiest, wonderful, most dynamic, successful people list. But it can add up to a whole bunch of nothing with the wrong motivation. With the wrong motivation. And it comes down to love, right? So why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I trying to show the love of God to others? If I'm loving God, am I loving others, or am I doing it for myself, right? Why am I buying that new car? Is it because I'm trying to find reliable transportation and I can afford it, or is it because I want to kind of show off and I'm trying to make a statement that I really can't financially afford? Why am I complimenting that person? Is it because I really am being sincere and I want to encourage them, or is it because I want them to think nicely of me? Why am I posting that? Is it because I want to say, wow, look at what God is doing and look at how wonderful this is and share something that's valuable to me? Or am I posting it to so that it's like I get all those likes and people go like, wow, look at that body. He must be working out. I mean, why am I doing it? Where's the ego involved? And that's where it comes down to the who before the do. Who am I becoming by the choices I'm making, and the why before the what? You know, it's so easy to almost justify anything, and that's why we need God's help so much. And Psalm 139, I don't know, it's one of my favorites. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's a psalm of like, God, you know everything. And you see every move I make. Wherever I go, you are there. And you know things before I even say them. This blows me away. You know, it's a psalm about all the intricacies of my life and how God knows everything and he's there wherever I am. By the end of the psalm, the psalmist cries out a prayer I think that's really good for all of us in this motivational aspect of the why. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, you see what I do not see in my life. Bring to my awareness my motives, my reasons, and clean me up and straighten me out so that the why becomes the who you are. The why becomes the love that you give. The why becomes the love they need. Because the why matters much more than the what you do. It's impossible, really, to get to the right place with the wrong motivation in God's world. It's almost impossible to end at the right destination when you start with the wrong why. And there's been a lot of people that have done that in different ways and said, hey, I'm going to do this. And it's all about ego. It's all about self. It's all about what I want. It's all about my control issues. It's really from a place, and it's like, it just doesn't matter. It's a whole bunch of nothing, as Paul would say. It's weighed in the balance, and it's absolutely worthless. I don't care all that you do during that. The why matters. Love matters. What do you want us to do? Whatever you do. It's interesting. At the end of Colossians, this is what it says. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do. Do you see that? Whatever you do. So what does God want me to do? Whatever you do. He doesn't say, don't you ever, I mean, there are things, we're not asking you to go into a life of, you know, drug dealing or pimping or, you know, there are the Ten Commandments, but within those, it's like, do you want to pursue this career or that career or is this or that? It's whatever you do within the parameters of love, within the parameters of truth, within the parameters of those integrity issues, whatever you do. Should I be an accountant? Should I be a lawyer? Whatever you do. But I'm just the fry cook at McDonald's. Whatever you do, then do the frying of those fries the best and in the name of Jesus to the glory of God. The best that you can do. whatever you do. I'm the stay-at-home mom. I'm up to my nostrils in dirty laundry and poopy diapers. Well, then wash that laundry as clean as possible and do that poop stuff. Have the cleanest butt cracks of any baby could ever have in the name of Jesus. Because you're doing more than just cleaning up. You are taking care of a gift from God that He has given you. You are discipling that gift of God. You are nurturing that gift. You are celebrating what God has given. And Jesus is right there in that moment. You couldn't do anything better than wiping that baby butt at that moment in time. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's the freedom that we have as Christians. It's not like, oh my gosh, if I would do this, God will never want. It's not like that. He's your heavenly Father. He wants the who before the do and the why before the what. And it's amazing when the who is before the do and the why before the what, how all those other things start falling in place. And God is working those things out, and He closes these doors and opens these opportunities. But He cares more about who you are becoming than what you actually do and why you are doing than what you're going to accomplish. You may be saying right now, I'm just a student, and I've got all these big plans someday, and I want to really do this. He cares more about the who you are right now than what you're going to do in the future. One day I'm going to be a missionary overseas. Great. How about right now, who you are, be the missionary in your English class. Be the one to witness and serve those in your biology class. You know, people look at successful people. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh, man, they must have made this huge decision that changed everything in their life. No. They made a lot of small decisions behind the scenes for a long time because they were focused on who they were becoming and why they were doing things. And they focused on becoming less self-centered and more the servant like Jesus, more focused on love, more focused on others, more focused on how they could serve others and glorify God in the little things of life, all behind the scenes for a long time before they ever got to the big stage. And anybody who gets to the big stage without all that behind the scenes work, I so don't want to be around them too much. Because pride is going to come before the fall. And God doesn't want that for you or for me. And so He's working on you, who you are becoming, and why you do what you do before the other things even matter. And when you look even closer at the teachings of Jesus, you know what I find? It's so amazing. You realize it's not even about what I am deciding or what I'm about, what I am trying to do, or who I'm even becoming, but it's really about Him. And you read through His teaching, and it's about Him and His relationship to you again and again and again. And this is amazing. In the life of Jesus, I mean, He did some pretty amazing miracles. You know, the one time where He took a couple of sardines, that's basically the size of the fish that He had, and like five crackers, you know, a little pita bread, pita snack, maybe a Lunchable a kid would have. And He feeds 5,000 men and then children and probably 10,000 or 12,000, 15,000 people and 12 baskets left over. The crowds were like, whoa, we want to do that. That's cool. He's doing great stuff. And so after Jesus leaves them, they find Him, and this is in John chapter 6, and they go like, wow, we want to do what you did. This is what they say. Then they said to Him, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. So in other words, the most important thing beyond all the doing and all the what's and the why's and everything else is the whom you trust above all else. Whom you trust above all else. Point number three. Whom you trust above all else matters to God more than any of the others' what's and why's and what's going on and what decision I have to make. When you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, when that is the first choice, the one choice, all the other choices start falling into place. When you don't trust him, when you don't believe in him, when you just rely on your own wisdom, or you say, hey, yeah, Jesus, yeah, but I don't care what choice you make. It might be a wise choice. But whom you trust matters more than what you do, or even who you are becoming yourself. Whom you trust. And why is it so important to trust this one whom God has sent? Because I make some lousy decisions, and Jesus never made a bad decision. Do you realize that? He never had mixed motives in the decision-making he did throughout his whole life. He never played to the crowd to get them to kind of love him. He never promised things he couldn't deliver. He never said to his disciples, hey, I just need a little me time. He had time with his Father, but it was never just me time. He never made one decision with 1 ounce of what's in it for me. But he totally was focused on his Father, totally glorified his Father, totally served and loved and sacrificed and gave without ever a mixed motive, without a careless word, without a careless deed, without a careless thought. And he did it for you and for me. You don't see him doing any things that I do all the time. And you know what? We hated him for the choices he made. We decided he was wrong because he was pointing out all the crap in my life and my mixed motives and how I did things. I don't like to be shown that. I don't want that truth, and I don't want you being perfect because that makes me look bad. And we chose to cast him out. We chose to throw him away. We chose that he was rejected by us. We said, he's even rejected by God. And we crucified him. That was our choice for all the choices that he made. And even then, when that was our choice, when that was your choice and my choice and the world's choice, Jesus chose the nails. And he chose that cross, and he chose to forgive, and he chose to love, and he chose you over the rules. He chose mercy over judgment, and he let the judgment fall on himself. Maybe you and I will make some bad choices in life, but when you trust the one who has made you his choice, you are his choice. Doesn't matter about some of the dumb choices I've made. Hey, hold this, watch this. Doesn't matter that, oops, I got a clunker of a car. I thought I was getting a good deal. Oh, I bought that house and now it's a money pit. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have taken that job. It didn't turn out. You've got Jesus. You've got eternity. You've got everything that God has for you in Jesus Christ, regardless. The who before the do, the why before the what, and the whom you trust above all else. That's what matters. That's what making decisions is all about. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that you would make us more into the who you want us to be, into the image of Jesus Christ, that you would conform our lives to his, that you would transform our lives because of him, because of his love and mercy and grace, that we would become people who are about truth, who are about compassion, who are about love, that you would change the why we do things, Lord, so that we are doing things in response to your love and mercy and in response to the needs of those around us, not focused on ourselves, but on what you're doing in this world. Now, I'm wondering in this room, there are many of us who probably have some big decisions, God. Big decisions coming up, and we're asking, okay, now what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do after graduation? What am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to do this? Should I do this? Should I do that? Financial Lord, for every one of us right now who's got a big decision, we want to just raise our hand to you and say, Lord, we've got one of those decisions we want you to help us with. We just want you to help us with that decision right now. And Lord, in the midst of the what am I going to do decision, teach us who you are turning us into, who you are making us become. Help us to see the who before even worrying about the do right now, and the why before the what. But Lord, even more so, help us to trust in whom you have sent, Father, your Son. Whom you have sent. Lord, give us that focus. And Lord, there are some now that maybe have never trusted in him. Father, there are some that have never said, yes, this is whom I trust, Jesus, who always made the right decisions, who made the choice, the hardest choice against his own self, all of his self-interest, and sacrificed everything. Lord, right now, we all say yes to you. Yes again. Yes for the first time. Yes to you, Lord. And when we have you, all the other choices start falling in line. All the decisions we lay before you. We cast all our anxiety on you, all our choices. We want you, Lord, to be the whom we become, Lord Jesus. We want you to be the reason why we do everything, so that others might see that, Lord, that others might see the why and the who you are through us. This is what we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.